I'm going to try to keep it together. It's the news, according to me. Good Monday morning. It is Monday, September 22nd, 8:42 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. And I am your host. I am not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. Any mention of anyone at all is presumed innocent until proven guilty. Except for those who are guilty. They're presumed guilty. I have, in my cup here, I have a cup of chai. It is my my favorite, Big Train chai. However, there's some Pacific Island chai in there. I probably shouldn't have done the Pacific Island chai this morning. Put a little too much of that in there. It's just a little bit more spicy than I would have preferred to have had on a Monday morning, first day back from. I was on a trip until last night, until yesterday I got home. Got all week off until Friday. Probably not going to be a show on Friday, by the way. But there will be every other day of the week this week, as far as I know. Well, today's called Mishmash Monday. It will be fairly pointed on some in particular areas, but tomorrow I'm going to talk about the issue of free speech. AOC has said some things, or some other people have said some things. They're misquoting. Well, first of all, they don't even understand the First Amendment. They don't understand freedom of speech. They don't understand the Civil Rights Act. They don't understand. There's so many things they don't understand that they're getting wrong. And the reason it's important is because they're attacking Charlie Kirk with these statements that they themselves are ignorant of. And there are people out there. Look, there's a movement going on, folks. I don't know if you realize it or not. There is a Kirk effect here that is having huge impact on our nation. It is a very, I would call this a silent revolution in many ways. My understanding is there's areas, especially where there are churches now that are just, they're packed out. I know this, it's just maybe I'm just old and cynical, but I know that this, you know, there's always that spike after something like this happens, and I understand it's not going to be just this continuing wave, but it has certainly had an effect on people who've heard the gospel for the first time. Some people are attending church for the first time, the first time in their lives going to church, don't know what to do. They're actually going online asking for advice on what to wear. How do I find a church? Just one person doing that just makes me, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. You know, and I didn't know that much about Charlie Kirk. I really didn't know that much about Turning Point. I thought it was a completely political thing. I didn't realize that the gospel had anything much to do with anything. I thought it was kind of a side note, and that's not what Turning Point was about. I talked about a lot of political issues that were, you know, hot topics in our society. However, he always kind of related things back to what the gospel says about this, what scripture says. And I'm sure I wouldn't agree with him on everything theological. I'm sure of that. But that's not the point. It's not a matter of agreeing, disagreeing. It's how we disagree. It's how we're able to disagree or work through things. And it's more important. There was a time in my life when somebody disagreed with my theology, I would basically write them off. It's more important to be right than to be loving, to care about anybody. And of course, you find out you're wrong. And what do you do with that? Well, they were right, I was wrong. Oh, well. That's my dog in the background. He's been a very good boy this morning. We'll see if that continues. I don't know. I've got him off. He's got his leash on right now, but I'm not holding his leash, so he's free to roam around. Typically, he doesn't go very far. He knows that when I start talking, it's time to take a nap. That's what he's been able to do here for a while. So that's been good. Now, today's Mishmash Monday. There's just a lot of things I want to talk about. However, some things. Charlie Kirk's funeral, basically his memorial service, was over the weekend. I did not watch the whole thing. I was able to listen to some of it. I was actually driving home from Chicago yesterday, and what was going on. Got to listen to parts of it. It was a. I've just seen clips. It sounds to me as if it was pretty much just a worship service. This was not about Charlie. It was more about. I mean, it was a tribute to him, but it was also a lot more about the gospel and about his life. My understanding is this. Stadium that they were in, I think it was a State Farm Stadium. I think it holds 100,000 people or something like that. And the fire marshal finally shut everything off. There was too many people for the venue. Now I don't know that all the seats were full, because I think the way they had the stage set up there were seats that couldn't be used because you wouldn't be able to see anything. They had an overflow area. I think maybe the stadium held 60,000, or they could put 60,000 in the stadium the way it was set up, and they had another 40,000 people outside. I think there were more than that that were overflowed. Of course, they didn't count the people who just showed up and said, "Oh, this is too much," and went away. There's probably another 10,000 people. Typically, there's at least 10%. When you get a packed-out situation, 10% of people won't even check in. They'll just go home. Or they'll stay in the parking lot, whatever. So we have there's a movement right now. I think there's a Kirk effect, I'm going to call it, that's happening. That I think is making an impact. This just flies in the face of all the people who have been out there celebrating his death. One of the people that were deeply touched, I think, reacted, not sure what they could say, was Van Jones. He was actually, Charlie actually texted him, or I think it was on a tweet response, the day before he was killed. This was on, I think it was on the 9th, I believe, September. And he said, "Hey, let's have a conversation. Let's get together and we can agree to be disagreeable." Or agree to disagree kind of thing. Let's have a discussion. And of course, now Van Jones didn't see that until the day after. And in fact, he didn't even see it at all until one of his team pointed out. He said, "He reached out to you the day before he got shot." And it was a very, very articulate, very, I thought, well-written request for the discussion between the two of them, basically saying, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not quoting this exactly, but he said, something effective. You know, we both are gentlemen. We both can have a conversation, and I know you'll be a gentleman. And we can both be civil with each other and still have a discussion and disagree. So I think it would be healthy for us to do that. And because there was kind of second party, third party, a lot of comments going back and forth between the two of them. And he just messaged him directly. He's the one who reached out. Charlie's the one who reached out to Van Jones. Van Jones didn't reach out to him. I think that's what's been stunning to a lot of people, is how willingly Charlie would reach out to have a discussion with people. And it wasn't know, they're supposed to be the party of acceptance and tolerance and love. I guess it was out of love that the shooter decided to shoot the guy. You go out to decide to shoot someone because you can't stand their hate. I can't stand their hate. I'm going to shoot them. Okay, so that's going to spread love throughout the world. That's the way you spread your love throughout the world. That's called that's nihilistic. It's this combination of this self-absorbed, I guess narcissistic in some ways. Just the world revolves around me and my definition of righteousness. It is the ultimate holier than thou kind of attitude that you're now going to take somebody else's life because you deem them unacceptable. No other reason. They weren't threatening you. And of course they made the CNN. I'll be playing more clips Wednesday. I'm planning on playing a lot of clips, audio clips, Wednesday or Thursday. It would be one of the two. I'm trying to make Wednesdays my live show. It looks like all of October I will have Wednesdays off. At this point, it looks like that way. And so I'm going to try to get into a routine of having Wednesdays be my live show. We'll see how that works out. But that's the kind of the plan at this point. We'll see if that works or not. I'm thinking Wednesday live at 8 a.m. That is the plan. We'll see how that works. It might be 9 a.m. I might have to make it 9 a.m. We'll see how the first one goes this Wednesday. That's kind of what's in the bucket at this point. Now, it might end up being Thursday, but Wednesdays will work better for me because of my schedule all throughout October. So it'll be consistent, which is important when you're doing a show like this. It's best to be as consistent as possible. So, by the way, my backup cup this morning is homemade sweet peach tea, which I just made last night. And it is, the peach flavor is actually coming through pretty good on this one. It's actually pretty decent. It's definitely good sweet tea. But it's, fresh batch, made it last night. Didn't even drink any last night a week because I made it kind of late in the day. I don't like to be drinking sweet tea at 9 o'clock at night. I just don't need the sugar and the caffeine and all that, and just that much liquid at night. I take the vitamins and stuff at night too, as well. And so I drink a lot of water with that. And I'm still, at an age where most people get up in the middle of the night and go potty. I don't have to do that yet. Not very often. If I drink too much water, I that does happen. But I try not to do that. It's good to drink water, but just not late at night. Anyway, back to the thing here. AOC has made some comments about the First Amendment, about the Civil Rights Act, some things like that. And there's some people coming out and doing a very good job of countering her points and actually obliterating what she's saying. Ilhan Omar will have some recordings of some of the things that she has said. She in a church of all places, standing in a church as a representative saying, anybody who thinks that this, blah, 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 well, you're full of Shiite, I think is what she said. These people are disgusting, and they're ticking me off. There's no other way to put it. I'm just more and more furious with the lies and the crap that continues to get posted on social media. Let's talk about this whole thing. I wasn't planning really anything on Mondays. Are kind of this thing where I just kind of dump everything from the weekend. I don't really have a plan. But I want to talk about Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon? No, Jimmy Fallon. Not Jimmy Fallon. What's the guy's name? Jimmy Kimmel. I'm sorry, Mr. Fallon. I actually have some respect for Mr. Fallon. Fallon at least tries to be funny. Among the Colberts, the Kimmels, some of the others, he actually tries to be funny. Who's the British guy that's actually pretty funny? He's an older guy. I've been watching a lot of old clips of Johnny Carson and some of his interviews some people who interviewed him, and he was talking about his show and, you know, what he was doing and how he did it, especially after he retired. Just the way he kept a modicum of class in the show. Still funny. He poked fun at both sides, but tried to stay away from political and serious issues. And he just tried to stay, you know, he was trying to keep a light show for people that just wanted to relax at the end of the day and kind of get some perspective. I think he did that very well. Nobody really knew his politics. Jay Leno. Now, I kind of know where his politics were or are during when he was doing the show, but he did a pretty good job of carrying that torch, fairly good. He did some things in the background and some things in his personal life that he kind of exposed who he was, which I still don't have a real big issue with, because he tried to maintain a funny show. He tried to maintain an entertaining kind of evening show. Without being divisive, I guess is the word. And I think Johnny Carson was somebody who kind of held the country together in that respect, with regard to entertainment, if you want to call it that. I just remember as a kid growing up, I would watch Carson every night. I'd have my bowl of ice cream. I'd watch Carson. I'd usually fall asleep on the sofa. I'd get up in the middle of the night and go to bed. That's kind of my junior high, late grade school, junior high kind of life that I had. I guess even into my high school years, it's kind of what I did. So the difference now is that these people are just political hacks. They're propagandists. A lot of it is because the money started flowing in a certain direction, and of course then you started having things like USAID with all the organizations they were funding and some of the money that was trickling back into these propagandists and doing those kinds of things. Now, it's interesting how some people are doubling down on the rhetoric against Charlie Kirk and everything that he stood for and the things that he was doing. The Democrats are kind of divided over this whole thing. And they shouldn't be. Some of them are trying to use this as a political, of course, they're blaming the other side. Oh, they're just trying to use this as a political. No, this is something that should be bringing the country together, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on. If there was a left wing, if Van Jones, for instance, were assassinated today, it would break my heart. I disagree with so much about Van Jones. And yet it would be a serious tragedy. It would be an awful thing. And here's the thing. This is the thing about the left. There's no redemption for them. There's nothing. They don't believe in redemption. You toe the line or else and you're out and that's it. There's no redemption. There's no coming back to that. You can say you're sorry to them and they'll just beat your head in the ground even further. That's why you never apologize to a leftist for saying the truth. If you say the truth and they're offended by it, do not apologize or they will pummel you into the ground. This is the track record. This is the SOP. This is the MO. This is whatever you want to call it. This is, you know, the flippity dibber. This is everything that they do. Because there is no redemption. And that is the one thing I think that we, hopefully, on the conservative side of things, are still carrying, is the hope of the other side coming around. And we've seen more of that, in my opinion. We've seen more people move from the left or left of center to right of center or completely to the right. Now, I don't like to see someone vilified after they've been murdered. I don't like to see someone canonized as a saint necessarily after they've been murdered either. I think that there needs to be a there was one of the pastors, I think the main pastor who had the main message for the service for Charlie Kirk. I think he said it best. You know, he made it very clear. He said Charlie Kirk he's not in heaven right now because he had to, you know, led this organization, and then went on to list all the things that Charlie Kirk had accomplished through his organization, through his team, through the people that had worked with him. Went through this whole list of things. He's not in heaven for any of those reasons. He's not in heaven because he sacrificed himself for the gospel. He's in heaven because his Savior sacrificed himself for Charlie. You don't earn yourself. You don't earn your way into heaven. There's no earning anything there. That has all been done. What Charlie did do is he had a response to that salvation experience, a response to what Messiah did on the cross. And it's his response that we saw. That was the manifestation of what happened in Charlie's heart. Was made manifest for all of us to see. His walk with God, his relationship with God, was made manifest for us to see. It bore a testimony, it bore witness to what Christ done on the cross. Not just on the cross, but through the whole resurrection and everything else that he fulfilled. I think it's important for us to have that perspective. That it's not about us. It's not just a matter about believing the right things, checking off all the boxes, making sure your theology is correct. That's a Greek mindset of things. It's not a relational way of thinking about things. It's, and we want to figure it out, understand it, put it in a box, and then set it on the shelf and pull it out when we need it. You live out what you believe. The life you live is what you believe. It's much more important than happening to intellectually be able to talk about what you believe and why. It's more important that you live out the things that you believe. That's your why. That proves more about what you believe than anything else. It's not just a matter of being a part of the right denomination, attending the right church, having the right pastor, agreeing with the right messages, picking apart the song that you don't have this. There's one phrase in there. I disagree with that whole thing. I don't like that at all. Whatever. Okay. That's fine. Great. That's great. Disagree with it. Don't sing it. There's some songs that I'll sing in church that I disagree with something. And you know what I do? I change the words when I get to them. I'm not gonna get into that, but there are some songs there's some phrases, there's some words that they choose to use, and I decide not to use them. I change them to something else. And there's even some songs that actually I think it's valid. I think some of the points are valid. One of them is a song. Well, I'm not gonna get into that whole thing. I know it's Mishmash Monday, but I'm gonna try to stay on track with some things, a few things at least. Let's change gears here a little bit. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about freedom of speech, Jimmy Kimmel, some of the things that have been said, refute some of the things that have been said about Charlie Kirk, refute some of the things that's going on with Jimmy Kimmel. This whole idea that Donald Trump he fired Jimmy Kimmel somehow, I guess. I don't know how that works. Nobody's blaming, is it NBC or CNN? Does he work for NBC? CBS, ABC, whatever it is he works for with his little show. Jimmy Kimmel. Somebody decided to fire him, decided to suspend his show indefinitely or whatever they did with him. What do you call it? Santa got fired. He got silenced. The government did that. The government didn't do anything. They weren't forced. They didn't force anybody to do anything. All of a sudden, you know, if this would have been anything else, they would have been saying, out of corporate greed, NBC or whoever it was that did this, this network decided to suspend Jimmy Kimmel because they were afraid of this deal that was trying to go through with the FCC, and they knew that they wouldn't get away with it if they did this and didn't suspend Jimmy Kimmel for his comments, that the FCC wouldn't approve this big deal they had going through. Well, that's more about corporate greed than it. They're not standing on their principles. Why don't you go after them? You don't hear a word about that. These big corporations that these millionaires and billionaires, all of a sudden we're not hearing about that. Oh, it's the FCC, it's the evil FCC, and it's Donald Trump. It's Donald Trump's fault that Jimmy Kimmel got fired. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. I didn't really get into that much today. I want to talk about this one thing. So there's some weird stuff about this shooter thing. This guy who allegedly, if I say anything otherwise, I do mean it allegedly. I don't mean it, you know, if we're calling him the shooter, because so far this is the guy that they have in custody, and he supposedly has confessed in some ways. I want to talk about this text message, apparently, this text exchange that he had going on between him and his boyfriend. Yeah, boyfriend, not girlfriend. And, of course, this one CNN guy who said, oh, it's very touching. They're trying to play this guy out to be Montel Williams was on a panel of some kind. I'm surprised that guy's come out of the grave. But he came out saying this. I don't think he was politically motivated. I think he was emotionally motivated. And of course, Scott Jennings set him straight on that whole thing. But it's first of all, it's a stupid comment to make. Not politically motivated. He was emotionally motivated. He's a love-torn child. This is his first real relationship. The poor boy. Oh, the poor kid. No, don't get me wrong. I have compassion for the shooter. Whoever killed him, I have a compassion for that guy. I would like to see him come to Christ. I would like to see him receive forgiveness and salvation, the whole thing. However, I don't think that the consequences of what he did should be excused or patsied off or anything else. I think he should be accountable for what he did. I think it's, period. What I don't understand, now, there's a lot of theories about this text message that he sent to his friend, his roommate, his whatever. Apparently, he sent this message, and it goes back and forth with this whole thing about he left a letter underneath the keyboard, a note underneath the keyboard. You know, he pulls it out, and there's all this stuff about what he did, and just the whole thing's back and forth with this weird text message exchange. To the point that it's as if they're trying to absolve any knowledge or that he's trying to make it look like his friend, roommate, whatever, didn't have any knowledge of what he was doing. You've been planning it for over a week. Didn't say anything to his partner there. To me, it was very... There's a few things that are very odd here. First of all, I'll be reading through more of the statement that he made either later today or tomorrow, some point this week. This exchange that went back and forth between them. But it was a very, it was very strange. Now, there was that. And the other thing that was very strange about this is the shot happened at right at the moment where there was a question asked about trans issues. The person who asked the question, there's a video of him actually asking the question, this kid that was asking the question. And they're showing him from the side. And when this happens, you see this kid back away from the microphone, and he is utterly horrified at what he's seeing. That does not necessarily mean that he didn't know it was going to happen. I have not personally seen the video of Charlie being shot. It's out there on the internet, and you can find it if you want to see it. I don't need to see it. I've seen enough in my life. I know how it goes. I know how horrifying and horrible it probably looks. The only thing that I would find comforting about it is knowing that Charlie probably didn't even feel anything. He literally probably, from the moment that bullet struck him, he probably was not conscious. I'm sure he probably did not even feel any pain. I think there was probably more pain felt by people around him than there were by seeing it than there were from him. Now, this is, I don't know, but that's just my assessment of the situation. Now, at the same time, this kid who asked the question, it was almost as if he was smirking when he asked it. Now, I don't know if this kid was involved or not. It sounds to me like there were more people who knew about this. In fact, up to 20 people knew about this whole thing possibly coming down. There were people who posted some things online the week prior to Charlie showing up at this event, saying some things about how, well, let's just see how things go. There's some innuendo that, of course, now they might have just been talking about how we're going to obliterate him in the debate. Maybe that's what they're talking about. Maybe this meant that they're going to, you know, they're really going to stick it to him in this debate. Someone, and I don't know if it was Ilhan Omar or AOC or somebody, a high-profile leftist who said something about, well, you're just going to have to take it in the neck. This is not beforehand, not before the thing, but this since it happened, you're just going to have to take it in the neck. And then they come back and say, well, that's just a figure of speech. That's just a figure of speech. That's a thing, something that everybody uses. I've never heard that phrase before in my life. Ticket in the neck. I've heard of a pain in the neck. I've heard, you know, things somewhat similar, but nothing like that. To tell me that you weren't referring to, there's not an inference to the shooting. It's disgusting and despicable. And I'll have to find out more about that. Hopefully on Wednesday or Thursday, I'll have more video, audio clips of things. Once again, folks, stuff on social media. I'm at the point right now where I really can't stand even looking at things that supposedly friends of mine, people that I've been close to in the past, have gone so far off the deep end. And my temptation is, I really have been tempted. There's a couple of things that I've been wanting to post. I rarely post anything on Facebook anymore, unless it's just something about my dog or something about whatever. I just hardly ever post anything. I hardly ever go on Facebook anymore. At least Facebook, other than Facebook Marketplace. But I don't do much on Facebook. And I I've been so tempted to post a few. There's some things I want to post and say, you know what, if you disagree with this or if you have a problem with this post, listen to the whole thing. First of all, listen to the whole thing before you post anything, because there's like three videos I'd like to post. Because it just kind of sticks it in the face of all these people who are saying things about Charlie Kirk, about Donald Trump, the whole conservative movement, and where we are as a country right now. And it's just, I want to just throw those things up there, post them up there, and then say, you know what, if you disagree with it, I don't want to talk to you. Just don't even post anything. Don't even post a comment if you have nothing productive to say. If all you're going to do is come back with all your rhetoric and call me names and do whatever, I don't care. I don't want to hear that. Nobody else wants to hear that. You're not changing anything. The thing is, I know I'm not going to change any hearts or minds by doing it. When you post something on Facebook, it typically changes more about the way people see you than it does about the way they see the world. It doesn't change their worldview by you posting something. Typically, 99.9% of the time, it's only going to get you further divided from anybody that you would have something in common with. Because the keyboard warrior thing does not, now when you're personally interacting with someone face-to-face, as Charlie Kirk would do, that's why he went face-to-face with these people. He didn't just have an online forum. He went to the campuses. And by doing that, it's much more disarming. It's much more, hey, I'm a real human being. I have real, you know, you can see and hear the context of that someone is saying. Here's an example, and this is why you can't just type something out and expect someone to read it the same way you typed it. For example, and I think I've used this example before, but let me just do, it's the same words. I'm going to say the same words over and over and over, and you tell me what the inference is behind it as I say it. Now, if I were just to type it out, you wouldn't have any idea how I was saying it. So I'm going to start right now. Here we go. I didn't say she stole the book. Now by that, if you listen to that, you would say that I didn't say that she stole the book. I could say it a lot of different ways. I didn't say she stole the book, implying and inferring that someone else said she stole the book. I didn't say she stole the book. It's just denial that I said that. Right? I didn't say she stole the book, implying that I implied that she did, but I didn't say it. I might have written it in a letter, but I didn't say it. I might have pointed at her when everybody asked who did it, but I didn't say she did it. I didn't say she stole the book. So I didn't say she stole the book. So I said someone else stole the book. I didn't say she stole the book. See where that goes now. So that's a totally different statement. I didn't say she stole the book. But she did take the book. See, that's what that implies. That's what's left hanging out there in the ethosphere. I didn't say she stole the book. So this implies there was more of conversation going on. You see where this is going? I didn't say she stole the book. Oh. Then what did she steal? There's so much more implied behind something that is said. The intonation, the inflection, reflection, all the other things that happen there. The syllables make all the difference. And you can't do that in a text. Punctuation is important. For example, let's eat grandma. Let's eat, comma, grandma. One implies you're going to eat grandma. The other one implies that you're telling grandma, let's go, come on, let's eat. There's, you know, those are the kinds of things you don't necessarily see in the kind of text message that you might be, because if you're using Siri, Siri doesn't always put punctuation in there. Just saying. Someone could take that the wrong way. Just saying. And that's where the keyboard warriors out there who hide behind their keyboards, and it seems like it's their mission every day to just post things that they have no knowledge of, move on to the next thing, and they don't care whether or not those things are correct or true or anything else about them. They just repost things they see, regardless of what they are, never minding to go back and correct anything that's been found false. This whole thing about what Charlie Kirk said about empathy and sympathy. They're all up in arms about, he said empathy, he doesn't like empathy. He prefers sympathy over empathy is what he said. That's exactly what he said. But he explained himself, and it makes perfect sense what he said. And why he prefers it over one over the other. He didn't say that one was, he rejected anything about empathy. I'll play the clip at some point maybe this week. These are the kinds of things that they do, and they'll find something like this, and then they retweet it. AOC, for example, said he doesn't like the Civil Rights Movement, the Civil Rights Act. He said the Civil Rights Act did more damage than good. Yeah. When you listen to the whole context of what he says about it, and I totally agree with him. I completely and totally agree with him. In fact, first of all, it was the 14th Amendment, but the Civil Rights Act... Oh, was it the 1950s, 60s? I don't know what it was. It was 60s. It's a very different thing than what was intended, first of all. But at the same time, it's being used, I guess, for different intent than what it was intended for. At the same time, it actually, I think, anytime there's stuff like this that happens. Many times these definition of rights, these certain things that they, like trans rights. Well, there's no trans rights. It's just you have human rights. You have a bill of rights. What we need to have is a law that basically makes sure that your rights aren't, that no one's rights are given privilege over another person's rights. When you have special rights, that gives you privilege. There's only one, when we're narrowing it down here to where there's only one demographic right now that basically has no special rights. All because it's this perceived notion that we have some kind of privilege. Or I should say they have some kind of privilege, which I would be included in that group, so I can say we, but it's they, that group, that has no special rights, suddenly finds themselves without any rights. All because of the accusation of privilege. So anyway, that's good tea. That's all I'm going to say about that. We have... a few other things we're going to talk about tomorrow on tomorrow's show. The main thing I want to talk about is, what is the First Amendment? What is freedom of speech? We're going to get into this whole thing. I know I've talked about it. I've kind of touched on it before in the past. But we're going to take a little deeper dive into the area of free speech and just what is it? What does it look like? How does it – what a free speech absolutist, which I am, but I also am a accountability absolutist as well. If you say something and someone is hurt or damaged by that, not hurt emotionally or whatever. Well, even if they're hurt emotionally, you take responsibility for what you've done. If you tell someone the truth and that hurts them, you can say, I'm sorry that hurt you, but it is the truth. That's taking responsibility. How can I help you work through this? Now that you know the truth, how can I help you work through it? That's taking responsibility. If you tell a lie and someone dies because of it, if you tell the truth and someone dies because of it, if I tell someone that someone else is doing them wrong, by the way, this other person over there, he's doing that behind your back or whatever's happening. I let them know this. Tell them the truth, aren't I? And that person goes out, gets mad, and they're emotionally motivated, and they harm that other person for doing what they're doing. Am I held responsible for that? Well, maybe. I mean, yeah, you're responsible, but at the same time, you're not responsible for pulling the trigger or doing whatever, however that happened, however the harm for, you know, throwing the hammer, whatever they did to that other person. Can't be responsible for that person's reaction to that. Unless you know that person's unstable, and then you do it intentionally, that's a whole other thing. That's now it gets into. I'm not a lawyer, not a doctor either. Can't help you with that lump on your head. But I can't talk about the financial what you should do with the finances that you get from your insurance. It's all those things. Anyway, I do believe in accountability. Is what I'm getting at here. Now, if you lie to someone, that causes them to go off and do something wrong. Well, now it's a little stickier, isn't it? All the situational stuff, all this critical thinking we have to go through. And I'm glad I'm not a judge. I would just stand up and pronounce everyone guilty from everything, and we're just going to move on. Everyone goes to jail. Nobody gets out, and we're all done. I would go with you. I would go to jail with everybody else. Everybody be in jail. I don't know how we'd get out because there wouldn't be any guards there because everybody there, they're in prison too. So I guess we're just all in jail. So here we are. Welcome to society. So that's where we are today. I have plans tomorrow morning to be up and at 'em early. My first day back especially from a trip when I have to travel around. Last week I was in Manchester, New Hampshire. I was also in Wausau, Wisconsin. Leaves are starting to change. It's starting to turn very beautiful in some places in the country. It'd be kind of nice to be able to spend a little time looking at that. And it's going to be raining here this whole week, which actually should give the leaves quite a bit of color. So it's going to be kind of interesting. But tomorrow I'm going to talk about the free speech, the First Amendment free speech, some things about those kinds of things. Jimmy Kimmel, a little bit more of a deeper dive into some of those kinds of things. In the meantime, folks, call the show 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Take care. See ya.